This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken with Him, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you so much for joining us for Cradle My Heart Radio. This is where we try to connect with those who need to understand God's love, not only after abortion, but during unplanned pregnancy. And I hear from many that the program and the information and the guests that we present are beneficial for just understanding our faith, for discipleship, because so often it's a misunderstanding of faith, and it's a misunderstanding of how the spiritual truth of God's Word can really help us emotionally, not only on this issue of unplanned pregnancy, but for so many other life issues. And I can't think of a better guest to help bring all of this together than welcoming back to the program Allison Botke, author of the Setting Boundaries series. And Allison, it's just a joy to say hello to you once more again today.
Thank you, Kim. I'm very excited about chatting with you again. Thanks for having me.
Well, Setting Boundaries, this latest is what, I think, volume number 7 in your series?
It is, and I think I first talked to you on volume 1 and maybe 3. I just can't believe God is amazing, isn't he?
Well, it's such an important concept, and as the series illustrates, boundaries help us in every area of life. And I just, the more it comes into focus, the more you can see whenever there's drama, whenever there's some chaos and confusion, it's like, boundaries needed there. So,
isn't that true? I never realized that back when I wrote the first one about my adult son, and I thought it was just that one finite book and that one issue of dealing with a drug addicted child. And but as the years have gone by, I've seen how it affects every area of our life, spiritual, emotional, physical, financial, just everywhere is that boundary issue. And when ours are out of balance, it wreaks havoc.
Well, and you and I learned that firsthand. We grew up without boundaries. We grew up in chaotic households. And I want to be fair, especially to the memory of my parents. They're deceased. And they did a great job raising me and my 4 siblings. They did the very best to their ability, and they sacrificed a lot for us. But emotionally, they didn't have the skill to give us boundaries because it wasn't anything that was emphasized in their own background. So I want to say that as a ground rule that, you know, by discussing boundaries in our family of origin, I think it's a way to honor them, really, to talk about building upon what they were able to give us. And so that having been said, Allison, just briefly touch on the fact that you, I think, got established or very early on wrote the landmark tract that God Allows U-Turns. And just give us the thumbnail version of that, because this thing is still in circulation. It's still helping so many people. We recently did one of our short features about it. And I want to give you the chance to take the credit for that, because
bless your heart. Bless your heart, Kim. I came to know the Lord late in life. I was 35 years old. And I was always a writer, so I started writing that experience, and I wrote it first as a memoir. I wrote God Allows U-Turns, because that's what I felt. I'd come from a place of new age secular humanism and a place of in and out of relationships and more than one abortion and very, very poor choices in my life. And when I finally turned around and made that change in my life, I just praised God that He allowed those U-turns. So I started, I wrote that book, but then, you know, it became clear that it was really not just my story. It was a lot of people's stories, because I started asking people if they had experiences of U-turn stories, of real transitions in their life when they came to faith. And so that memoir was put on a shelf, and it became a collection of true short stories. And what really, really motivated that, Kim, is when I started asking people for stories, and I started approaching publishers. They, at that time, it's been now 16 years, and there's 13 volumes in that series, so it's been a while. But at that time, publishers were not printing any stories in the Christian marketplace that dealt with what they called the three A's. And those three A's were abortion, abuse, and addiction. And it confounded me. How can you talk about what, how God allows U-turns and how God's love heals us and restores us if you can't talk about the top three things that women experience that change their lives? Abuse, abortion, and addictions. So I just felt called to break that stigma and start talking about it. And the stories that came in were stories of healing and God's love and the spiritual truth of God's love through issues like that. And so it just grew from there. And now, you know, now in the Christian marketplace, we have books, you know, thankfully, that are really touching on hot topics that many years ago, you know, weren't talked about in the church.
Wow, I never knew that that was really kind of an unspoken rule.
Oh my gosh, and they were and they were very specific. If you look at it, it was around the time when the Chicken Soup books came out, and
okay,
there was only one collection of short stories for women, and they were very sweet stories, very spiritual, very sweet, very, you know, more, I mean, it's a great series, but they were just, to me, you know, it's a little bit too sweet. They didn't address, you know, for me, the issues that I had experienced in my life.
Right.
You know, having been in the world for 35 years, I walked through some really dark paths, and I knew that I was not alone, you know, and I was, it was a conundrum. So as I started to go to church for the first time in my life, I'm looking around thinking, okay, am I really the only person that has, you know, that has a drug addicted child? Am I the only person that has made these poor choices in my life? Is everybody in this church perfect? You know, and I realized, well, no,
wow,
they're just not talking about it. So this guideline for that short story collection was very specific. We do not accept stories on, and there was an added thing, suicide. We don't accept stories on abortion, abuse, addiction, or suicide, or, I mean, they really made a clear guidelines. And I thought, wow, I think it's time. And that's where, God, I mean, God blessed and honored that series, because it was time for people to start talking about these things, because that's how we heal. We've got to communicate. We've got to share. And we've got to be able to know that we're not alone in this.
Wow. You know, a lot of pastors, I think, still have not gotten the memo.
And
I don't say that as any kind of a slam on them. I want to affirm that it's okay and it's time. It's past time to include this in your preaching. You know, because I think that they are protective at times. They don't want to add to hurt if they're not sure how to best console. There are a lot of reasons that go into it, but wow. You know, Allison, we could just a quick detour into a war story. When
yes,
I was, my book was published in 2012. And so, but I was first approached by a Christian publisher in a big publishing house, after they found out my story and wanted, you know, had a little bit of interest because I had some local celebrity in Twin Cities radio. And, they asked me to please submit my manuscript, but please don't put abortion in the subject line, they said, because our server will bounce anything with that word in it.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. And I thought, wait a minute. This was in the early 2000s, you know, and I thought, well, okay, no wonder I feel stigmatized here. Oh, man.
Yeah, exactly. And stigma, that is what it is. It is a stigma. And, you know, this particular book, it's, you know, Setting Boundaries with Negative Thoughts and Painful Memories. And the subtitle is How to Stop Hoarding Your Hurts. And, you know, that came to me because it really, you know, it is a stigma that we don't talk about these things. We don't talk about the things that cause painful memories. You know, the negative thoughts, where do they come from? And, you know, it's a fact that there's, and this is what's really scary, that one in four people in this world are going to be affected by mental or neurological disorders at some point in their life. So we're dealing with mental health disorders, you know, like bipolar, depression, schizophrenia, anxiety, PTSD, all these things that still, you know, that fuel these negative thoughts and painful mm-hmm. memories, but we don't want to talk about them because that stigma associated with any kind of mental health issue, you know, it creates an alienation and a discrimination, and it's just got to stop. And you know, this month is Mental Health Awareness Month. I don't know if you're aware of that. So it's May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and boy, we just need to peel back the layers of all these false lies that people are believing, the stigma, it's just time.
Allison,
time.
It is. And I love the subtitle for Allison Bothke's new book, Setting Boundaries with Negative Thoughts and Painful Memories, How to Stop Hoarding Your Hurts. You know, one of the things that happens to us after abortion, and it can happen after anything traumatic, is when we say hoarding your hurts, the way that I think of that is we attach to the pain. We attach to the negative emotions, and they begin to define us, and they begin to start becoming part of our identity. I'm that person that did this. I'm that person that, you know, it's sort of like if you're ever sentenced for a crime, you become the crime. You know, you're a thief. You're a whatever. And so you've got how to stop doing that, how to stop hoarding your hurts. And one of the things I want to talk about on this, and again, you know, from your experience is you share how you first experienced violated boundaries as a child. And I think this is where that pattern develops. When our boundaries get violated, we start looking for meaning. We start looking for some way to console ourselves. Sometimes it's even easier to blame ourselves, take it on as an identity, than to just, you know, be frightened by the random nature of life that bad things can just happen to you. Talk about the importance of realizing when we've had our boundaries violated as a child and how that plays into what happens in the future.
Well, you know, it's sadly bad stuff happens to good people, you know, and no matter how hard we try to put it behind us, we are forever changed by the experience. So, and that really is what happened to me and what happened to a lot of people if their boundaries are violated, whether it's physical abuse, emotional abuse, mental abuse, spiritual abuse, it stays with us. It we do allow it to define us, especially when we're young, because then we grow up and learn, you know, these patterns of behavior that are just become so much a part of us until we realize that this is something we've got to break, and it's difficult. It's extremely difficult, and without God's help and without that realization that there's a different way to live. This isn't how God wants me to live. That I can replace this with something better, and you know, and boundary violations can really it's way up. It's like the number one issue in baby boomers' lives today is that we've now that we've got to this age and this time in our lives, you know, and we're, you know, looking at really why are we doing these things? Why are we caught in these gerbil wheels? You know, why are we repeating these same behaviors? And we start peeling back those layers, we're going to go way back to a young, you know, childhood, and it does, you know, it does define us if we let it. I don't know if that answered your question, but it's just
yes. Well, and I see it, too, in things like road rage, where it's like the tiniest boundary infraction ignites the huge boundary infraction we never dealt with. And so, you know, our reactions to things are all out of proportion because we've never really processed the original hurt.
So you hit the nail on the head. Absolutely.
So how do we do this, Allison? How do we process that? And how do we, you know, in some way incorporate this so that we can say, yes, this happened to me, but it doesn't define me, and I certainly don't need to keep thinking about it in the same ways that I have been?
Well, I have 6 steps to sanity that are in all my books. They're the same 6 steps. And the S is stop. It's stop. In this case, stop hoarding your hurts. Stop ignoring the issues that fuel the negative thoughts and painful memories. We've got to stop and step back, be still, and pray. You know, we really have to stop repeating the same behaviors. And we know if we're, you know, in challenging relationships or there's a consistent problem that we're facing, if we can't keep a job, if our finances are always a mess, if our kids are, you know, are challenged, whatever it may be, we know that, you know, that there's something that's not right. And we've got to just stop. And what you said is that we've got to respond rationally and not emotionally. And that's what's hard. You know, if I can reach people right now when they're not involved in the middle of that rage or that emotional angst, you know, and they can say, okay, you know, I get that way. So I've got to stop and think about this rationally. Now, what do I need to do next? The A is assemble supportive people. We need people around us, Kim. If it's your church group, if it's a support group, if you're dealing with drug issues, if you're with abortion support group, there are so many supportive people. We just tend to isolate ourselves when we have challenges. So we've got to assemble supportive people. That's the A, people that can give us advice and encouragement, people of our faith, you know, that will listen and pray and believe in us and help us see things objectively. This is a hard thing. By the time we get to this, you know, we are repeating these same mistakes and we get caught up in all this, and it's sometimes hard to really step back and look. And it's hard to hear it sometimes, too, from those supportive people. So we've got to trust the people we're reaching out to, you know, to help us through this. And the N is nip excuses in the bud. You know, I find excuses are often justification for negative behavior. You know, we make these excuses. It nurses our emotional pain, and it keeps us in bondage. We've got to resist accepting excuses, you know, that I respond this way because so-and-so did this. Or right. I feel bad because this happened to me as a kid. Or I feel, you know, we have these excuses. So we've got to stop those. Don't we continue going on to I can
lie? Sure.
The I is implement a plan of action. Now, here's the thing. We get caught up in our own thoughts and emotions and choices. You know, and you know, if we don't know where we're going, you know, we're going to be lost. Or if we don't have something to aim for, we'll hit nothing every time, they say. So we have to have a plan of action, what we need to do, and take it bite by bite. If it's, you know, if it's road rage, as an example, you know, when this happens, what can we do? We've got to be able to have a plan and change that trigger, whatever triggers us. We have to identify that trigger and decide that we're going to change it. You know, there's an example. I along with the abuse I had as a young girl, I married a man as I was as a teenager, who was incredibly abusive. I was 15 years old and ran away from home and married this fellow, trying to fill this emptiness in my heart. And he almost killed me. His abuse was so bad. And I got out of that relationship, but for years after, and this sounds kind of crazy, but for years after, I was petrified of sounds and noises and. This is a trigger for me, a metal milk crate. I have an 18-inch scar on my leg still from a metal milk crate that this man threw at me, and I ended up having multiple stitches, and it's a scar that's lived with me the rest of my life. So every time I would be out thrifting or garage sailing and I would see a metal milk crate, I would get sweats. I would just freak out. I didn't know what was happening, and it was like, okay, clearly, you know, I had to stop and look at it and say, this is a metal milk crate. This is nothing. This is an inanimate object. But in therapy, I'm very pro-Christian therapist. You know, when we have these kind of challenges, we need somebody to talk this out with. So we walked through this, and I had to change and, you know, change that thought process when I saw this to realize, okay, Allison, this is a metal milk crate. It holds bottles of milk. It served a good purpose. You know, I had to replace the negative thought and remembrance and that trigger and change it to something else. That's, you know, in the long term, that's called cognitive behavioral therapy, sure, where I really had to, you know, replace the negative thoughts. And we've got to do this. So that's part of the plan of action, is to replace negative thoughts. I kind of got off of on a tangent there, but that's what happens. You know, we assign things. We don't even realize that's what we're doing, is going back into times. And if we really look at it and, you know, peel back those layers, there's something deeper there. You know, which is the same with hoarders. That's why, you know, I was watching that hoarding TV show that gave me the idea for this book. You know, I couldn't believe people could live like that. You know, but then I watched mental health professionals intervene and talk to these, you know, these souls that were, you know, they're burying their hurt under tons of trash. You know, and so when they started talking about what does this mean to you? What does this, you know, what does this resemble? You know, what? And there's complicated reasons and very distorted thought processes underneath all that. And it's the same with us when we're hoarding our hurts and our painful memories and these negative thoughts, and we have the guilt and anguish over the things that we've done or not done. You know, and we get mired in that. And so that's part of implementing that plan, is to identify those things and decide what we're going to do next. The T is trust the voice of the Spirit. If we don't trust God, you know, God has a plan for our life, and it can take time to learn how to follow Him. But we've got to listen and trust His voice. And when we're praying for help and wisdom and discernment, to trust God and grow in our relationship with Him, He can lead and guide us to make healthy choices and good decisions. We have to ask and stop long enough and listen. It's part of that stopping and listening. It's all tied in to follow His word. You know, God's love. Your book is so helpful. I mean, I keep reading through it. I've read through it many times. And, you know, the scriptures that we talk about is, you know, God sees our sorrow and He knows and He can help us through this. But if we don't trust Him and listen to Him and believe in Him, we're out there alone.
So
and
true.
The why is yield everything to God. We have to yield it to Him. You know, we're going to experience freedom when we let go and let God and let Him help carry our burdens and not try to take it on ourselves. This is something I see in my age range a lot, these boomers. We just want to do, you know, we can do it all. We've gotten to this point in life where it's, you know, I can do it all. I can handle things. And if I don't, nobody else is. And so and it's not how it is. You know, we need supportive people around us, and we need to trust God to help us.
Oh,
phew, I just ranted and raved probably 15 minutes through the sanity steps there, didn't I?
that's exactly what we needed to hear today, and I just want to reintroduce Allison Botke, who is our guest. She's the author of Setting Boundaries with Negative Thoughts and Painful Memories, and I think it was very worthwhile for you to do that for us, Allison, because once we can put a structure on our thinking, we're just going to be so much more equipped to be able to think in a new way. The subtitle of Allison's new book in the Setting Boundaries series is How to Stop Hoarding Your Hurts. And it's a very practical program for recovery from mental health issues. And as Christians, we're not immune from mental health issues. We bring our human character with us into the kingdom when God makes us His followers of Jesus Christ. And so all of the things that happen to human character, we are subject to, including breakdown in our thinking and issues with our mental health. And I love that you say, you know, get Christian therapy if this is what you need, because it is available and such a helpful thing. The other practical tool that you're offering, Allison, is your sanity support groups. And so I want to give you a chance to talk about that. And I'll check our time. We've got about 6 minutes remaining, so give us a quick plug for that, and then, of course, we'll have it linked at cradlemyheart.org as well.
There's a workbook for the Sanity Support Group that's associated with the first book in the series, which is Setting Boundaries with Your Adult Children. So there's a workbook where there are groups all around the country of sanity support just for parents who are dealing with enabling issues and adult child challenges. That, you know, and I'm talking about the challenges of adult children who are addicts, who are in and out of prison, who can't keep a job, who have their own mental health issues, who are dealing with bipolar, depression, things like that. So those groups are going on across the country. I'm going to be starting sanity support groups online every month. I'll be hosting them. They're going through live webinars, so you can log onto my website, AllisonBotke.com, and we'll be having sanity support groups where people can meet once a week online, and we're streaming all over the country for these. And we can, you know, encourage people to have them at their church, just to talk about these seven steps. It's just amazing how we can come together and change things if we do have that structure like you talked about, and it is key. And you know, God gave me these steps when I was going through this issue with my son, enabling him, and I just, you know, I was at my wit's end. What can I do to help him? And I wasn't helping him. I was handicapping him. So when I realized that, you know, I started just writing, okay, this is what I need to do. I need to stop the flow of money. I need to stop bailing him out. I need to stop. And then I said, okay, I got to talk to somebody. I can't deal with this. So I wrote down, talk to somebody. And then I said, no more can I accept these excuses when he calls. Says, I need money. I need you to bail me out. I need whatever it was. I've got to stop listening to these things. So I wrote all these things down, and as I looked at all my notes, you know, the six things I really had to do, they spelled the word sanity. So it was clearly one of those, you know, epiphany God moments where I went, okay. Because it's a world of insanity when we're out of control, you know, and our feelings of whether it's this enabling issue, whether it's painful thoughts or negative memories or feeling, you know, guilty or angry or just, you know, our choices aren't good choices, any of that, you know, it's an insanity. It's just running on that gerbil wheel of, you know, that doing the same actions and expecting different results. So
well,
it's never going to work.
And we know, Allison, that you are a woman of faith, and I want to give you the chance in our final 3 minutes here to talk about the role of identity and faith in setting your healthy boundaries in our thought life. You mentioned we've got to trust God. You've mentioned we've got to yield everything to Him. Talk about, you know, what we have in our favor to help us stop this negative thinking.
It is that identity power, and without that, we're lost. And you know, I came from like you mentioned, I'd gone through an abusive situation as a child in foster care, and I grew up really thinking that I didn't deserve things. My father left when I was young, so it was like, okay, I've been abandoned. I'm not worthy. So I developed all these thoughts that were not my identity in Christ at all. But we have God-given value because we've been placed into a new family where we're unconditionally loved by God. And when I realized that, I'm chosen by God. I'm adopted by God. I'm a child of God. I'm born again. We have this God-given value because God changed us on the inside, and he's given us new characteristics.
That's just a great note for us to end on because we're out of time. But thank you to Allison Botke. And the book we've been discussing is Setting Boundaries with Negative Thoughts and Painful Memories, How to Stop Hoarding Your Hurts. Allison, thank you so much for sharing from it with us today.
Oh, Kim, thank you for having me. I so appreciate you. God bless you and your ministry.
Now, stay with us. Coming up, we'll give you a chance to win a copy of Setting Boundaries. Won't you share with us perhaps a Bible verse or some other thing that has helped you conquer negative thoughts? Share with us, and let's grow together here at Cradle My Heart Radio. Phones are open at 1-800-811-3003 for your calls coming up next.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciate you making Cradle My Heart part of your weekend listening. And we are here for you live with our phones open right now, 1-800-811-3003. And tonight's resource is a copy of Allison Botke's book, which we just discussed, Setting Boundaries with Negative Thoughts and Painful Memories. And we have three copies for our callers who join us on the air. That's all we request, is that you pop in and say hello. Maybe you want to share your story. We would love that. Or you'd like to share a Bible verse with us about how you are overcoming negative thinking and painful memories. But we just would love to hear your voice and have you say hello. And so that's what we're going to ask for as you call to receive a copy of Allison Botke's new Setting Boundaries book. 1-800-811-3003. 1-800-811-3003. 3003. What I love about this new book, she's written about setting boundaries with your adult children, was the start of the book, the series. There are so many volumes now in the series. She's written about setting boundaries with negative people, with challenging people. She's written about setting boundaries with food. But this thing about setting boundaries within our own minds, putting limits on our thinking, to me is such an empowering thing. And I think right away of the Bible verse that says we are to take every thought captive to Christ and evaluate it in the light of the truth about what he has said about us and about how he feels toward us and what he was willing to do for us in his death on the cross and the power of his resurrection, which God says lives in us if we belong to Christ. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead now gives life to your mortal body, it says in Romans 8. I mean, like, wow. That's what it is, to take a thought captive, is to say, well, this is how it seems to me, but what does God say about it? And then when we start, replacing those negative thoughts, really, that's when I think our faith begins to make such a difference in the way that we live it out. So help us. Help out. Help others listening tonight and share those Bible verses that have helped you with negative thinking, if it's been an issue, or how has your faith helped you with painful memories? I mean, everyone has a painful memory, whether it's something cringeworthy that you regret having done, or whether it's, you know, guilt or shame, or whether it's just something that was extremely difficult, a loss that you suffered. Everyone has painful memories. But, you know, at some point, either we can conquer the emotional process or we languish. And it really can limit our spiritual growth if we're subject to painful memories. So I want this to be an encouraging live portion for the show tonight with your phone calls at 1-800-811-3003, 1-800-811-3003. And I will share one. And this one has been very important to me, especially in the last couple of years. The verse from 2 Timothy 1:7, which says, "For the Spirit of God, the Spirit God gave us, that is, does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." Now, that's I think, the New Living Translation, but the NIV says, you know, "But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind." And so if we think about all these synonyms, you know, that a sound mind is a different way of saying self-discipline. There you see how that action of taking that thought captive is a discipline that we can engage in so that our thoughts can keep our minds sound because of the Holy Spirit living in us. And that's something that has really been, I have really seen it come to fruition in my life. I've known that verse for years, but and it's a, you know, it's a foundational verse for dealing with worry and anxiety. But it so helped me to know that I was trying to overcome a difficult habit and a lifelong habit, and one that probably kicked in because of fear and anxiety. But I wasn't even, you know, I wasn't feeling anxious and worrying. I was just acting out this habit. Now it had become, yep, habitual, whether or not I was feeling fear. But when the Word told me that I've been given by the Holy Spirit of God a sound mind, to me, I had been trying to white knuckle changing this habit, changing this negative behavior, you know, asking God to give me more of the fruit of the Spirit of self-control. And I really began to see that there's such a difference between self-discipline, which is, discipline is a plan. Your discipline, when you discipline your children, it's setting the boundaries. It's putting structure to their day. It's letting them know up front what are your expectations and what will the consequences be if the child chooses a different path for himself or herself. This is what discipline involves. Discipline doesn't involve, reacting to an infraction. And when a child incorporates those rules and disciplines himself or herself, then we see, oh, okay. And the spirit of self-control is for when our discipline plan breaks down and something challenges us. Maybe we're in a new situation, or maybe there's some great temptation that comes before us. And the self-discipline that we've worked on to give ourselves that structure and to operate within safely, when it breaks down, then that spirit of self-control can come in with an extra measure of reminding us of all the discipline that's gone before. They're two distinct things. I'm not sure I'm expressing it well, but that was such a wonderful verse for me to realize that I've already been given a spirit of self-discipline. I know some people who are so disciplined. They are, you know, I mean, I think I've told you about my husband, and he runs 6 days a week in the dead of night. He gets up very, very early to get it in and be able to get out the door and get to work on time. And it's something that he's done as long as I've known him. We'll be married 25 years next year. He's just a very, very disciplined person. I'm not that person. But I am very encouraged to know that I have been given a spirit of self-discipline and of love and power to go with it. And so I think that that's one of the best verses for me when I start thinking about how to overcome painful memories and how to take control and set boundaries around that negative thinking. Is there a Bible verse that has helped you? Join us for a copy of Allison Botke's book, Setting Boundaries with Negative Thinking and Painful Memories. 1-800-811-3003. 1-800-811-3003 is the number, 1-800-811-3003. And let's go to the phones and welcome Tricia to Cradle My Heart Radio. Hi, Tricia. How are you tonight? Okay. Evidently, we're still getting ready for her to come on the air. But as I say, we have three copies of the book. So if you have a verse to share, 1-800-811-3003. Oh, I see. My bad. So Tricia just wanted to leave a comment for us. And thank you for that, Tricia. Thanks for calling and checking in with us. She wanted to share Jeremiah 32:27, and she said it's a great reminder for her that the word says, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? Now, really, if you start pondering that, it's very, very difficult to remain frightened of your circumstances. So that's a great verse, Trish. I really appreciate that. We have three copies of Alison Botke's book, Setting Boundaries with Negative Thinking and Painful Memories. 1-800-811-3003 if you would like to receive a copy. One of the great verses about taking control of our thinking, and this is so important. I learned this years ago when I was struggling with trying to stop yo-yo dieting. And that's been something that's, again, been a very, boy, that's been a real long story in my life. And I'm gaining the victory over it. And it's definitely been a spiritual battle. And at one phase of the battle a number of years ago, I realized that it's so much easier to add in tons of fruits and vegetables and healthy protein and in healthy fats that make you feel satisfied and full than it is to try to stop eating all the foods that weren't as beneficial. It just suddenly the light clicked on in the room of my mind. And I said, oh, I can eat a lot of those fruits and vegetables in particular, and feel full and feel satisfied. And, you know, it's such a feast for the eyes to have the rainbow on your plate. You know, I'm sure you've gone through a lot of these things too, if you've ever tried to change your eating habits. But it was really very helpful to me to look at Romans 12:2 to see this pattern where it says, you know, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. No one's ever going to sit in a room and suddenly have great thinking and a very healthy way of approaching life. We have got to open up the word and pour in the good. And what happens is, instead of then trying to will the negative thought patterns out of our lives, the good of God's word changes us from within. And this is why it's so important to be consuming our daily bread of God's word. And so that's a principle that I think is hugely important for overcoming negative thinking and moving past our painful memories, setting that boundary, as Alison Botke is writing about in this new book. Love to get a copy for you. And you can have one if you'll join us on the air with a question or a comment, or you want to share a Bible verse about overcoming negative thinking and how you've moved past painful emotional memories. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. 1-800-811-3003. Of course, the rest of Romans 12:2 says, when it says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the way that we do that, of course, is through the scripture. But then it says, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And whether it's changing, you know, unhealthy habits, or whether it's trying to get control of negative thinking and painful memories, when we know God's will, when we know what he has told us in the scriptures, not only the promises, but the truth of who he is, and our, you know, how he has made us his own children through the sacrifice of his blood on the cross. When we know these things and the beautiful way that God will reach out with a word from scripture that's so apt for us in our circumstances on a given day, where we feel that intimacy of parental love from the Holy Spirit and from the Lord touching us in our lives through his word, serenity and the joy that comes from knowing God's will and being at peace in our minds with what God wants for us and agreeing with Him that, yes, this is a good, good plan, and You're a good God and a great Father, and I know that You love me. There's just nothing like it. It's completely foreign to the natural state of mind that wants to go to negative thinking and that wants to dwell in painful memories. You know, the mind tries to heal itself. I think all of us have a drive toward wholeness and peace and wellness, but we can't do it within ourselves. We need the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God and the people of God, of course, too. So share and be in fellowship and help us know how you have taken control of negative thinking and painful memories, especially through God's Word. Join us, 1-800-811-3003 here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
Please join us for a copy of Allison Botke's book, Setting Boundaries with Negative Thinking and Painful Memories, How to Stop Hoarding Your Hurts. You know, one of the things that I so enjoy about speaking with Allison, and if you missed our featured interview with her to start this hour, we'll have that posted at cradlemyheart.org for our podcast soon so you can go back and listen to it. But she's so transparent, and Allison has had more than one abortion in her past. And she's shared that story with us, and she notes that, you know, this is trauma. This is trauma. And so it's not as easy as saying, I'm going to change my negative thinking about that. I'm going to rid myself of these painful memories. These are serious life issues that we're often talking about. And I know that I had a pattern for years of being unable to get past the painful memory attached to my abortion. But that's what happens, is that we need the Lord to come and help break that attachment to those negative memories. It's a very challenging thing after abortion because sometimes those memories are all we have left of the reality that there was a child that was, you know, part of our lives during that time when they were here within our wombs before the abortion took place. And so this is something that is very effective and very practical help from God's Word as to how we do this, how we move beyond the deepest pains of our life, the most hurtful things that have happened to us. It's a great resource, and we'd love to get you a copy at 1-800-811-3003 for your question or comment, or if you'd like to share a Bible verse with us about how you have set boundaries on your negative thinking. Another comment off the air, Melinda said she works with men who are in denial with trauma that they've had. And so she's wondering what she can say to them, even though their trauma may be different. That's a great question. I spoke with someone who went to speak to men in a prison setting, sharing the story of how he had experienced abortion twice in a former marriage. And he shared with them that he had so detached from his responsibilities and so abdicated to his wife at the time that for many, many years he wasn't troubled by the abortions. The marriage did fall apart and didn't last. And so eventually he did have to come to terms with the fact that, you know, he was the father of those children. And he had done nothing to give honor and dignity to their memory. And he had to face what it said to him about himself, that he had been that detached from his own emotional life. And this is something that can happen to us in trauma as well, Melinda. And it's very, I think, very difficult for men to get in touch with, you know, feelings that are painful. I think someone has said the only acceptable emotion for men to express these days is anger. So, I mean, I'm not a therapist and I'm not a counselor, but I would say that, you know, what we have learned from many of the counselors that we've had as guests on this program is that talking about traumatic events is often not most helpful. Instead, after trauma, when we can check our thoughts, and so what we want to do is we want to hold that thought up to the light of day, particularly if it's something that's like black and white thinking, or if it's something that's very self-condemning, if it's something that is so negative that it can easily be debunked, so to say, you know, that you as a friend or as a, you know, as a detached person can say to them, you know, I would never speak to someone I cared about the way that you're speaking to yourself, and help them see that they're holding themselves to an unreasonable standard if they've had a role in something that was traumatic. And helping them think it through. And, you know, cognitive behavioral therapy, as Alison Botke recommended, you know, there are some very, very helpful Christian therapists that, particularly for trauma, can help work through the painful events that seem, you know, that beyond our ability to deal with them in our prayer lives alone. And someone has said, you know, there's no shame in my game. I mean, let's be asking for prayer for one another. Let's have at least one person we can be very authentic with in prayer. And I think that, you know, for us as women, one of the most effective prayers that I was ever counseled to pray is that, you know, the men in our lives would have godly men surrounding them to teach them to be godly men. It doesn't come naturally to us as women to be godly women. I'll speak for myself. But men need men to mentor each other and, you know, to be a safe repository for those thoughts and feelings. And so I would say, Melinda, to pray for godly men to come into the lives of these men, but also to, you know, just recognize that trauma is something that very few people are able to resolve on their own, and the effects can be long-lasting and can wear a lot of different disguises. I don't know if that's helpful, but Melinda, I sure hope so. And I hope that you'll look into Allison's materials and maybe be able to make a referral there as well. But CBT, Dr. Linda Mintel, who's on many of these radio stations, was talking about that that same way of dealing with trauma and of dealing with a painful past on her broadcast this evening as well. So maybe God has something very special for this particular area of healing. You know, that is why the Lord came, yes, to forgive us from sins, but how often did he interchange the notion of forgiveness and healing? Everybody has a wounded spirit from sin. The power of forgiveness is so, so crucial here in changing our negative thinking. You know, because often what is most painful to us is what we cannot reconcile. We cannot see how that betrayal happened. We cannot accept that that transgression was done to us. We can't, you know, we just can't get our minds around it. And God says we don't have to. And in fact, peace comes when we leave it in his hands and we follow the Lord's wisdom that we are to forgive, the Lord's instruction that we are to forgive. And in light of all that God has done in giving us forgiveness, we are to forgive as an act of obedience. You know, and training your mind to do that, I think, is so important, especially when there has been trauma. You know, because forgiving a perpetrator allows you, first of all, to become a witness to whatever happened. If you were traumatized by somebody, you know, hurting you, becoming a witness allows you to step out of the trauma and see it and see that person for who they are, rather than just someone who's victimizing. There are many, many beautiful and unexpected benefits that come when we forgive. And you don't have to feel it emotionally in order to do it. You can do it as an act of your will. Write yourself a reminder that you did it on a certain date when the emotions come to tell you that, you know, I can't forgive it. Remind yourself that in your will, you obeyed God, and ask the Holy Spirit to bring your emotions in line. You know, someone who was discipling me many, many years ago taught me to do that, and it's a very effective way of handling situations where forgiveness is our only hope. The Bible says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And here we return to the idea that I was talking about earlier, that if we so fill our minds with all of these things that are listed for us in Philippians 4:8, there will be less and less and less room for the painful past and the negative thoughts and negative thoughts toward ourselves, which are so destructive, because a watching world may not even know the pain being inflicted upon us by ourselves, by our own negative thoughts. I pray that God would release you from that, if that's something you are struggling with. And do get in touch with us. We would love to connect you with helpful resources for your healing, for your growth, and for your freedom in Christ, because it's for freedom that we've been set free, not just so that we can stop having bad behavior and self-limiting thoughts and habits. No, for freedom. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free, and that's our prayer for you tonight. I'm Kim Cattola, your host. You've been listening to Cradle My Heart Radio. We're so glad that you did. We'll be praying for you this week, and remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we.